And immediately Jesus left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he wouldn't permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone's looking for you." And he said to them, "Let's go on to the next towns so that I can preach there also, for that's what I came for. That is what I came for." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Handing over to Glenn.
Thank you, Julia. Please keep your Bibles open there at Mark chapter 1. Now, as we begin, let's think about this question. Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? And the point of Mark's gospel is to, as we look at the beginning of Mark, is to explain to us who Jesus is. And that's really important for us as we think about this question, why did Jesus come? Now, many people have ideas of who Jesus could be. Some think of him as a really good person. He was a teacher. He was someone who taught great moral values. Other people saw him as a helper, someone who came to help those who were sick, those who were lame. But if Jesus just came to be a healer, then does this mean that we never have to worry about sickness again? And if Jesus just came to heal, then does that mean if I get sick, I can pray and my sickness will be gone, just like that? Now, there are times we don't have to worry about those kind of questions. In fact, when life is good, it can be hard for us to even consider the possibility that we might ever be sick or get ill. But I don't know if you're what you're like as a patient. I'm probably one of the worst patients in the world. If I get the dreaded man flu, I am the biggest whinge and moan that you'll ever meet. And whenever we're sick, usually the first thought we have is, I can't wait to be better again. I can't wait to enjoy taste, life, freedom, all those things. Now, the last time I was a patient back in hospital was in 2013. I had to go in for a routine surgery on my back, which was actually worse than expected. Now, the surgeons kept me in general anesthetic for a longer time than they planned for. And when I came out of that, I was in a poor state. I was kept in hospital for observation. I don't know if you've been in hospital yourself, but when you're poked and prodded at by doctors and nurses, you don't get a good night's sleep, do you, when you're being asked to rest? Now, I was only in for one night, but I remember meeting gentlemen in the same ward as myself who were in that hospital for weeks, even months. Now, they wanted to go home, but they felt trapped because they weren't fit enough to do so. That gave them anxiety. Will this ever end? I don't want to be here. I don't want to be like this. Will this stop? And you know, when serious sickness hits us, we can also feel trapped, as can our loved ones. And it makes us think, will we ever be better again? Is there hope that we can cling on to? Now, that might sound a little bit melodramatic, but especially when serious sickness hits us, we begin to wonder, is there hope beyond this life? Is there more than this life that we live in? And in Mark chapter 1, Jesus invites us to see something bigger than just the fact that he can heal. In Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 15, Jesus began proclaiming the message that the kingdom of God is at hand. It's near. It's coming soon. And here in verses 29 to 39, Mark wants us to see what that preview of the kingdom is like. It is a kingdom of restoration. It is a kingdom with a sickness and suffering. And it is a kingdom filled with compassion that reaches far and wide. And so as we think about this preview of the kingdom, we're going to see that this preview of the kingdom without suffering is a compassionate king whose priority is to bring the word of life. This preview of the kingdom without suffering is a compassionate king whose priority is to bring the word of life. Let's think about this as we think about this preview of the kingdom without suffering. And look at verses 29 to 34 with me here. Verse 29 says this, "And immediately he," that's Jesus, "left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came, took her by the hand, and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them." So just for sake of context here, we're still in this 24-hour period of Jesus with his disciples in Capernaum. This begins here in verse 21, when they are at the Sabbath day, and they head home after a very busy day in the synagogue. But when they get to Simon's home here, they tell Jesus about Simon's mother-in-law. Now, I don't think they expected Jesus to do anything in particular here. It's merely just a matter of fact. It's the same way that you tell your guests that when they come to your home to take off their shoes when they enter the front door. Or even worse still, when you tell them to beware of the cat. I don't like cats. But they're saying to Jesus here, basically, don't worry about her. She's not well. She hasn't been well for a while. And yet, in a matter of moments, Jesus restores her to full health as the fever lifts. And before you know it, look at verse 31. She's serving her family and guests. It's a full, immediate recovery. But it's not just Simon's mother-in-law here. Let's keep reading here from verse 32. Verse 32 says, "That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him." Now last week, if you were here, you would remember that Phil spoke to us about a man. He had a demon cast out of him by Jesus through a word in verses 21 to 28. And now the reason for that is that Jesus is telling Satan that it's game over for him. Satan has lost the war between good and evil. And Jesus here is continuing to expel evil forces here in verses 32 to 34. But there's actually more going on here. The whole town heard what Jesus did in the synagogue. And it tells us in verse 28 that his fame has spread. And off the back of that news, catching like wildfire, everyone comes to Jesus seeking help. And Jesus heals them all. So what is Mark trying to tell us here? You see, Mark is showing us here, in the same way that we've seen last week, another glimpse of what the kingdom of God looks like. Last time we saw the angle of how the kingdom of God is no place for Satan and his evil forces. This time we are seeing a preview of how the kingdom of God has no place for sickness or suffering. Now you know when you're having a quiet night in and you want to watch a movie. So you're flicking through Netflix or Amazon Prime or Disney Plus or other streaming services are available. And you're trying to find something new to watch. You're not sure if it's going to be good or not. You see something, you go, maybe. I like that actor. I like that actress. I like that director. But I don't know. Well, how do you find out? Well, you go on YouTube, don't you? You search the trailer. And you watch the trailer to see if it's actually going to be good or not. Now, maybe that's not your kind of thing. Maybe you're not into TVs or movies. Fair enough. But we even get this sense when we're trying free samples of new food. We're not sure if we're going to like it or not, but we take a taste of it, we take a bite of it, and we see if we're going to like the whole meal. You see, previews or samples help us to look forward to something good. And this preview and sample that Jesus gives us should whet our appetites and leave us longing for more of what the kingdom of God brings. We see a world without evil, and we see a world here without sickness and suffering. Doesn't that sound great? This is a preview of the kingdom here. This is a glimpse of the good news of the gospel. And the gospel is about Jesus, the one who is bringing an end to sickness, suffering, and evil. And the one who is God's king in the kingdom that is near. But what is this king like? Well, in Mark's gospel, he is portrayed and made known as a compassionate king. And we see that as we get a glimpse of him in our second point, as we look again at verses 29 to 34. Now look back at verses 30 to 31 with me here, and think about what Jesus is actually doing. Notice how in verses 21 to 28, we've seen this last week, he confronts a demon, casts it out with a word. Verse 25, Jesus rebukes him and says, "Be silent, come out of him." Now surely if Jesus is going to heal, he's going to use his words as well. But look at how he does it here in verses 30 to 31. Now remember, Jesus isn't asked to heal, but he does it anyway. But not only does he do it, look at how he does it. Verse 31, Jesus came, took her by the hand, and lifted her up. When he did that, the fever left her. And I think Mark wants us to see something of the character of Jesus here. You see, yes, he has authority and power to heal, which is amazing. But he also has gentleness and compassion for those he came to help. Now again, going back to the doctors or the hospital, I don't know about you, but do you want the person who is going to steam in and deal with the sickness, but show no compassion or help to you at all? Do you enjoy that kind of hospitality? Yes, you want somebody to heal you and help you, but you want someone to show you gentleness, tenderness, compassion. Jesus does that here. Jesus also has gentleness and compassion for those he came to help. We see that in verses 32 to 34. Verse 32, that evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. Not just many people, all. Verse 33, the whole city was gathered together at the door, all of Capernaum. Verse 34, he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. Nobody is excluded here. Why? Because this is compassion. Something Jesus shows time and time again in the Gospels. Mark chapter 6, Jesus sees the crowds and he has compassion. Why? Because Jesus is the compassionate King. He is full of care, and his heart goes out to those who need him. He cares more deeply about the pain of this world and his heart, because it's a world that was made to know him. And yet this world is ruined because of sin. Now that sin is an evil rebellion against God. It's a rebellion that drives a wedge between us and him. That sin dwells inside all of us. And yet, we see here in Jesus an inward affection. And in that inward affection of Jesus, it helps us to see what God's kingdom will be like, with the compassion that is found in it through Jesus, its King. Because Jesus is all compassion. But like I said, this is a glimpse. This is a window, a preview. And as Jesus says in verse 15, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's near. But it's not here yet. However, one day we will get to see the fulfillment of the kingdom when it arrives. And even though this is just a small view here in Mark chapter 1, we get a bigger picture later in Revelation, which is at the end of your Bibles. And this is a picture of when God's kingdom does come. And when it does, this is what it says. You don't have to turn to it. Let me read it for you. Revelation says this, "And I heard a loud voice coming from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.'" And there's two things we see here in this picture that's painted in Revelation. Firstly, we see a kingdom without suffering or sickness or pain. And we see a kingdom where God dwells compassionately, dwells and compassionately cares for his people. And Mark wants us to see here that those two things are found in Jesus. The God who brings restoration and compassionate care and seeks to dwell with his people as their king. You see, the compassion of Jesus is something that can be easily glanced over. And yet Mark makes it so clear to us here in this passage. Jesus cares for those whom he came to save. So much so that he gives his life to rescue them from their sin and that wrath that is to come for their sin. And anyone who comes to Jesus for help, they will not be turned away. Now, at this point, I need to answer a question that you might either have right now, or maybe you've heard it before and you're not sure how to answer it. If Jesus can do this here in Mark, if Jesus can heal, then why doesn't it happen all the time today? Why do we know of people who have asked for healing and not received it? Why is it friends and family of ours that we pray to do not get healed the way we expect them to? And it's a very good question. It's a question that sits close to my heart, and it's a question that I've wrestled with time and time again. Especially when I've known loved ones who are close to me, and especially those who have not survived serious illness or suffering. Why doesn't healing always happen now? Is it because Jesus doesn't care? Is it because Jesus is unwilling to? I think the point of this passage here in Mark is not to come to Jesus and expect healing, but to know that one day there will be no more suffering or sickness in the exact same way that there will be no more evil, no more sin, no more Satan. Suffering is hard, and sickness is hard too. But these things help us to recognize that all is not right with this world. C.S. Lewis once said that pain is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And pain, suffering, sickness, whatever you call it, it wakes us up from getting too comfortable with this life. Particularly when life is peaceful and somewhat uneventful like it is here in London. But one day we can look ahead to a day when sickness will be no more. And that preview of the kingdom that we see in Mark chapter 1 will be fulfilled as sickness and suffering is removed for good. But make no mistake, Jesus doesn't withhold his compassion from you until then, because Jesus cares for you now. And if your trust is in him, then he will deal with your greatest problems, which isn't your illness, which isn't your sickness, but it's your sin. And he will bring you into that kingdom where your hope is fulfilled in him. So we've seen a preview into this kingdom, and we've seen its compassionate king. But the question that now leads from this is this: what is Jesus going to do with that compassion? How is Jesus going to help? Because sickness and suffering is one thing, but to constantly heal sickness is doing nothing more than dealing with the root of a deeper problem. Because sickness and suffering exist, because like I said, sin exists in this world. And death is the result of a sin-filled, broken world. But we asked the question earlier on, why did Jesus come? What is Jesus' priority? Well, Jesus' priority is to bring hope and life. He is to bring a solution to sin and to bring hope into this world. It's good news in the face of sickness, suffering, and death. And Jesus' message, his word, is what people need most. Look at verses 35 to 39 with me here, as we see Jesus' priority to bring the word of life. Verse 35, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Now let's pause here for a second. Because Jesus' first thought that morning was to pray and spend time with God, his heavenly Father. Jesus here is putting his relational needs first. But there's much more to this. Let's keep reading. Verse 36. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. They found him and said to him, everyone is looking for you. And he said to them, let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And so Jesus was going to keep performing in his ministry in the vicinity of Capernaum. What impact would that have? And if Jesus' ministry was centered around the healing of the sick, how good would that be? Short term, yeah, pretty good, great. But long term, it doesn't matter. Why? Well, death is on the cards for all of us. And you see, the reason for Jesus' urgency to spread the message wide is because time is short. Now, I've just finished watching season 2 of The Bear. I don't know if any of you have seen it. For those of you who might know what The Bear is, it's probably more intense and stressful watching than the news. But for those of you who don't know the story, it's about a Michelin star chef trying to save his dead brother's restaurant. And the phrase that keeps coming up in the show is this. Every second counts. Every second counts. Jesus makes his mission clear here in verse 38. Let us go to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. Why? Why is he not hanging around Capernaum? Because every second counts. Because people need to know the good news. People need to hear the hope of the kingdom. The sign is here, is the same sign that Jesus shows in verses 21 to 28. Casting out demons linked to Satan and preaching the message that good news is here. God's kingdom of light that casts out darkness has dawned. Hope has come. And what it brings is the good gifts of the kingdom marked by the giver of these good gifts. The King of the kingdom who is Jesus. So what does this all mean for us today? Well, it means that we have a kingdom that we can look forward to. We can give thanks to the preview that Mark gives us here of Jesus in this passage. God's kingdom is coming soon. We can have absolute confidence in this because of that certain hope that we see in Revelation. Yes, don't get me wrong, there are good gifts now. But think about how much better those good gifts will be when they are paired with the compassionate King who we will get to enjoy them with. And not only that, the problems of pain, sickness, and suffering are gone forever. But also, take heart in knowing in order for this certain hope to become a reality, nothing is more important than hearing the good news that Mark is proclaiming about Jesus here. So the question I have for you is this. Are you listening to what Mark has to say? Do you realize that every second counts and there is no better time to follow Jesus than now? See for yourself who Jesus is and ask yourself whether or not you want to be part of his kingdom. A kingdom without suffering? A kingdom without sickness? A kingdom where Jesus, the one who is compassionate himself, is the compassionate King who gives us life in him. I'm going to leave it there. Why not chat amongst your tables about this hope of the kingdom of God and how we can have this compassionate hope that Jesus is longing to tell us. If you need help, if you need something to help you, there are some questions at the bottom of your sheets there. But please use the rest of this time whilst you're here to think about these things much further. Thank you for listening.